you today. If you'd turn with us over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 25. If you're willing and able, we'll stand on to the reading of the Word of God this morning. Found over in the Matthew's Gospel. Would you take a note, if you would, in chapter 24, verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, so that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated for all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now turn to Matthew 24, verse 32. Jesus says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered in the ark, and knew not till the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that the good man of the house had known of what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for Calvary and what you've done for us. Lord, I pray that you simplify the preaching this morning. God, would you help the troubled hearts in this place? We want to pray for America. We pray for our friends in the Ukraine. We pray, God, for that country today and those families that are so devastated. And God, we want to pray that you would help America today, help our leadership in this nation. Every force of hell that's coming against her, I pray that you'd bind them. And God, I pray that you'd help us now this morning in the Word of God. Pray you'd draw sinners and you'd save like only you can. Father, we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You'll notice here Jesus was saying that you need to be ready. It's the most important statement of the hour. We've seen a great transition of things going on in the last week of from Russia to the Ukraine. Is there they're trying to dominate power. It's in Daniel 9, Ezekiel 37 and 38. A lot of different opinions about those chapters. But we all know this. This last four Sundays or so, I've been preaching on the bride of Christ. Jesus is getting ready to return for His bride. There is a war in earth, but there's a wedding going on in heaven. I'm glad I'm going to heaven this morning. And as Jesus said, that these things must come to pass. We live in a generation. We're going to see things that another generation never saw. We're going to see things happen that is so bizarre, that is so mind-boggling. But this we know, that the Word of God will stand forever. As Jesus is telling His disciples here at the return of Christ, it seems like the most important statement that He said was to be you ready. I want to ask you this morning, are you ready? We could go on through many lessons, many sermons, and I know they all have their application and their time. But this morning, the most urgent time of your life is to be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. I think a lot of people are very confused. They're caught up in religion. I want you to hear this preacher and hear me well this morning. Religion will let you die and go to hell. Religious people put Jesus on the cross. But Jesus came to save sinners. He walked through this world as a man, yet being God-man, had never known sin. God loved me and you so much that He saw we were sinners. You say, well, preacher, this has been one of the greatest questions that I've ever had to answer. I've heard a lot of people say, well, preacher, I've never really done anything bad. I'm a pretty good person. But the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. If we traced our ancestors, everybody in this house, we would make many pathways, but we'd all wind up in one place that's back at the garden where Adam sinned before God. And through that bloodline, He's brought forth a depravity to all mankind that's ever been born. We're born sinners. I realize it is a time in a young child's life when they die that as David lost his child, and David said this famous text. He said, He cannot come back to where I am, but I can go to where He is. I believe that all children are secure in Jesus this morning. But there comes a time when a person becomes responsible to God. You say, preacher, what is that time? I don't know that time. Only you know that time. When God shows you that you're a sinner and He convicts you of your sin, it's time for you to come to Calvary. You come as just a child. You bow at His feet and call upon Him as a Savior. You say, well, preacher, I'm young, I'm old. But if you're old, that ought to let you know that the time is not going to stand still for you. You must be ready to meet God. Young person, you may think that you're going to live forever. This week we got calls of a young lady that very bad things has happened in their family. Many have stepped out to meet God. They thought they'd have a whole life in front of them. And children, young people, I'm not here to scare you or terrorize you this morning. I'm just going to tell you the Bible truth. You must be born again. Older people, you must be born again. Now, I want to show you a passage that, unfortunately, they can't teach in an open forum in the high schools. They can't teach it in the colleges. But let me tell you what we can teach. We can teach it in the church house. And if you turn with us over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, I want to show you something this morning in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16. And I asked you, are you ready to meet the Lord? You'd be surprised that the people's never heard a gospel presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you took a poll in America today, the polls would come back that there's all kind of ways that lead to heaven, but this Bible says there's one way to heaven this morning, and that is by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's not another option. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to be saved. Well, you better be getting saved because you're not going to stay here. You're either going to heaven when you die because you're saved, or you're going to go to hell because you're lost. Now, let's look in this passage over in Luke's Gospel, something that cannot be taught in this day and this hour in the public school, and it's so sad. Mom and Daddy, that's why it's so important that you bring your children to a Bible preaching and teaching church, that they'd hear the truth of the Word of God. Now, first of all, I want you to notice this. This is not my version. This isn't your version that I'm reading out of. This is God's version. This is what God gave us to go by. And let's see what the Lord has to say about life and eternity this morning. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16, in verse 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man. He was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus." Now, a lot of the Bible commentators, many of the liberals, will say that this was simply a parable. But no place in your Bible do you ever see where a parable mentioned one by name. This is not a parable, but it is an identification of truth this morning. It is reality. And so the Spirit of God penned this down, and He said it was a certain beggar, his name was Lazarus. And he was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and saith Abraham afore off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to me, that would come from thence." He said, "I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went of them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." Now I want you to hold your place right there and turn with me over to Isaiah chapter number 5. To Isaiah chapter number 5. And I want to read this verse, and maybe you'll realize something in verse 14 of Isaiah 5 and 14. First of all, hell is a real place. People deny that hell is a real place. You mean God would send a person to this place that you've read about? Well, see, God don't send people there. They send their own self there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I want to show you in this text that God never intended for anybody to die and go to hell. In Isaiah 5, verse 14, "Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself, opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." Now, here we notice that hell hath enlarged herself. Why would the Bible say that? Well, the Bible says that God created hell for the devil and his angels. God never intended for a man or woman, boy or girl to die and go to a devil's hell. Because He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die in your place. You say, "Well, preacher, I'll take my chances." You'll lift your eyes in hell like the rich man did. But this morning I want you to realize that God never intended anybody to die and go to hell, that hell hath enlarged herself. Did you know that hell is bigger this morning than it was yesterday morning? People died without Christ last night, and hell hath enlarged herself and received them. Now, could we think on this just a moment? How is hell getting bigger every day? Why is hell getting bigger every day? Well, let's go back to where I read to you there in Luke 16. I want to say, first of all, hell is getting bigger every day for the unconcerned. Are you concerned about where you'll spend eternity? You're concerned about many things, but can I challenge you just as an old country preacher today? to get burdened about your soul, where you're going to spend eternity. Get concerned about meeting the Lord. He is a good God. He is a God of love, but you better read your Bible. He's also a God of wrath. He's not going to send His Son and you trample upon the blood of His Son and simply walk into heaven. Can I tell you, we must be born again is what the Bible says. Now, hell is getting larger every day because of the unconcern. There was a certain rich man. He was clothed and in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. Could you imagine the lifestyle that he had? A lot like us in America. We're so blessed in our blessings, we've forgotten about how we've got blessed. We know a little bit, just a little bit about hard times. But many of us are like this man, fared sumptuously every day. I doubt if anybody in this building went to bed hungry last night. We all got up and we chose what we'd like to bring to church this morning, what we would wear. You know why? Because we've been so blessed. And today, I believe hell is getting bigger every day because of the unconcern. Notice, he fared sumptuously every day. No doubt he had no idea that he was fixing to die and meet God. But not only is hell getting bigger because of the unconcern, hell's getting bigger because of the unexpected. In verse 22, the Bible says something. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And watch, the rich man also died and was buried. So here we see that an unexpected death came. How many of you today that's listening to me preach this message, how many of you will look and say into your heart, there's been many people that I've known that died unexpectedly. I wouldn't be much of a preacher. This wouldn't be much of a church if we didn't tell you there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. You say, well, preacher, you can't keep a crowd and you can't grow a church by preaching on hell. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to preach the gospel and the truth of this King James Bible. This morning we see that hell is getting bigger because of the unexpected. He never expected to step out and meet God that day, but he did. And so in verse 23, you'll notice this. Hell's getting bigger every day because of the unconcerned, the unexpected, because of the unwise. The Bible said, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Now, time out. He's not in some holding place to see if he can get better. He's not in some holding place for somebody to pay off this one, to get him out of there to into heaven. The way that eternity found him is the way eternity is keeping him. The Bible simply said this, he was unwise in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes. You used to hear this a lot in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 34. I want you to see this. Mark 8 and 34 this morning. Notice this text. It's so powerful. The Bible said he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, and he said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Here it is in verse 36. Underline it in your Bible. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Young people, I realize that education is very important. I must confess, I wished I had more of it. But you know something? You can get every degree and every doctorate in America. You can eventually be wealthy enough to buy all the land that joins you. You can prosper and do well in this life, but at the end of the day, this is what really matters. When you die, are you ready to meet God? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I've never understood this. There's been times that I have awoke in the morning and think, is the insurance policy paid on the home? Is it nearly expired? Is the insurance policy paid up on the car these things that are material that we think so much of, we put insurance on those. Can I tell you the greatest insurance policy that I know about this morning that never expires? And it is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a policy. To know when I leave this world and meet God, Jesus has forgiven me of my sin. Do you hold that policy this morning in your heart? Well, you can, because Jesus loves you today. And so we see that hell is getting bigger every day because of the unwise. And then in verse 24, hell is getting bigger every day simply this reason, because of the unsaved. He cried and said, "Father Abraham, look, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." The unsaved. Look what he does. He cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." But you see, it's too late for God to show you mercy when you step out in eternity. God is filled with mercy and grace today. That's why a man, woman, boy, and girl needs to be saved when Christ deals with their heart. You step out in eternity, die, and go to hell. There's no mercy in hell this morning. You say, "Well, preacher, that's very sad. No, it's the Bible. It is sad, but it's the Bible. And you must realize that you must be saved. It's getting bigger every day because of the unsaved. Then verse 24, watch this. Hell's getting larger every day because of the unquenched. The Bible said, "Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." You see, they're not playing cards in hell. They're not playing Nintendo games in hell. They're not shooting ball in hell. They're not hitting ball in hell. They're being tormented in hell. You see, hell's getting bigger every day because of the unquenched, where the fire dieth not. Then verse 26, this is a very sad statement. Hell's getting bigger every day because of the unreturning. He said, "And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." He said, listen. He said, there's a gulf fixed in this place called hell. And the people that would love to come over to us, they can't get out of that place. And those that would want to go and rescue them, they can't get out of there to get to them. Now this morning, it is a place of the unreturning. The way hell finds you is the way that hell will keep you. And then, this is so sad, hell's getting bigger every day, not only because of the unreturning, but because of the unreached. The unreached. Look what he says in verse 27. Then he said, the rich man, he didn't die and go to hell because he's rich. He died and went to hell because he wasn't saved. I pray thee therefore, Father, about the unreached. Watch this. Thou would ascend into my Father's house, for I have five brethren. He may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. The unreached. I want to ask you today, church, is your family reached for the cause of Christ? Is your brother and sister saved? I have relatives back home that I pray often for, that I grew up as a kid. They really burden my heart. You know, a lot of times we think, well, I'm saved, my wife's saved, and my children are saved. Well, what about your relatives? What about your friends? What about the one that you've walked shoulder to shoulder by? You know, this week we was in the prisons preaching in Alabama. We preached, many prisoners were saved, and a lot of times we really don't think about people meeting God into eternity. I've seen men that you couldn't even recognize who they were. They were so tattooed from head to foot. But God had given them a place in life where they could think about meeting God, and they wanted to do something about it. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? There were some celebrities that came. They were doing a TV show there where we were in Alabama. And as they was in the foyer, many men was gathered around them. And so many people there, they had tracts handing out to people, inviting to the service and telling about Jesus. You know, in those TV celebrities, when one person would give them a tract, I wonder what it would do down the road as they'd get in the road and start going. I'm saying this morning. Do you have a burden for anybody that's around you? Do you ever tell them about Jesus? Do you ever give them a tract? Do you ever invite them to church? If there's anything missing in our population, it is a burden for people dying and going to hell. You know, a lot of times we think, well, you know, we want to put this on the back burner. We want to put it on the side. But we must realize as a Christian, everybody's going to meet God. Young lady, you're going to meet God one day. Sir, you're going to meet God one day. And it's not if you've done good. It's not if you've come to church. It's not if you've been a good wife or a good husband. It's have you been saved by the grace of God? Well, Brother Ken, what is being saved? It's trusting Christ as a Savior. You realizing you are a sinner and you need a Savior. And if you've never been saved this morning, I don't know of a greater day than today to give my heart to Jesus. Don't you realize in this day and this hour, if my forefather preachers walked in this building this morning, they would rock these chandeliers telling you, you better get ready and Jesus is coming. Don't you see the signs of the time this thing is winding down? Don't die and go to hell. Don't reject Christ. Hell is getting bigger every day because of the unreached. And then watch this. A great controversy come up. A guy called me out a few years ago about this statement, and I want to back it up out of the Word of God. Look what the Word of God says. Hell is getting bigger every day, not only because of the unreached, because of the unrepented. Look in verse 29. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one of them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Repentance is still essential to being saved. What is repentance? Repentance is simply turning your back on this world and its system and everything else and trusting Christ as your Savior. You must realize that you're a sinner and that lifestyle is bad. You must turn your back. Repentance is like walking this direction. When you trust Christ, you quit walking that direction and you start walking His direction. That is repentance. I want to tell you what Jesus said about repentance. You'll notice, turn with me over to Luke's Gospel 23. I want to close here, but I want to show you something about this thing of repentance. And you don't have to go there because I'll read it. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 3. But hear what the Bible says. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, unless you all likewise repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said, you must all repent or you will all likewise perish. Now, in this statement, are you ready? We turn to Luke's Gospel 16. We find two characters there. The rich man was lost. The poor man was saved. One went to heaven. One went to hell. Could we look at it as I close this sermon this way? There is good news and bad news. We've heard the bad news first. There is a hell awaiting those that know not Christ. But the good news is, you don't have to go there. That's the good news. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look in Luke 23 now. verse 33, and I want you to pay attention to this. Luke 23 and 33. And when they were come to the place that's called Calvary, there they crucified Him. Can I tell you, Christ died for you this morning? And the malefactors or the thieves, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, and He can only say this from the cross, Father, forgive them. Aren't you glad that the cross brings forgiveness this morning? For they know not what they do. They parted His raiments and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription or a statement was put above Him. In letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. Now look what happens. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on Him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us, if thou be. He's sort of making fun of Jesus. You may make fun of Jesus. You may make fun of people that are living for Christ. But let me tell you, there's coming a day you won't make fun of Him or them. So He took it lightly. If thou be Christ, save thyself. But verse 40. But the other, answering, rebuked Him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? For we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And He said unto Jesus, not they said, but He said. He said unto Jesus, Lord, He didn't say, remember us. Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus did not say to them, He said to Him. Notice, the reason He didn't say to them, because they didn't say nothing to Him. Only one said something to Him. Jesus replied specifically to him. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The good news. The bad news that if you die without Christ, hell will be your home. But the good news is simply this. You don't have to go there. Now I want to show you something in your Bible, and I want to give an invitation this morning. Romans chapter number 10. In verse number 9, let's see what the Bible says about salvation. Romans 10, verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and here's the essential key ingredient, watch this, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Here it is in verse 13, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Miss Sherry.